It's official. Jesus Christ was not born on December 25th. So Christmas, does it have anything to do with the birth of Christ? And now, Garner Ted Armstrong.
There must be about 19,000 websites about the origin of Christmas. I know because I looked it up a couple of times, and depending on what kind of a search engine you use, what you say, origin of Christmas or whatever, the holly wreath, mistletoe, Santa Claus, thousands of them. And I was interested when I started perusing some of these to find out that so many of them admit the pagan origin of the Christmas celebration. But on the other hand, many of those that do admit it go right on to talk about how it's completely harmless. We ought to do it. We ought to enjoy it. Santa Claus is a wonderful idea. It's a wonderful concept. It's wonderful for families and reunions and kids. And what is better than the spirit of giving? You know, there are two sides to that story. I want to tell you about a couple of fascinating things in this program and not necessarily give you the answers because they come in two tapes and a booklet that I have for you. And the booklet is entitled Christmas, the Untold Story. And one tape is by the same title. And the other tape is something that will really be fascinating to you called The Real Birthday of Jesus. The Real Birthday of Christ. Most people don't know when that is. Some even said on some of these websites I saw that they thought it was in March or April. It's not. And it is not anywhere near December 25th. I'll give you some of the clues because there are clues, believe it or not, all the way back in the book of Deuteronomy. And all you've got to do is to put together simple little mathematical equations and having to do with the birthday of John the Baptist and even the begettal or the conception of John the Baptist. And you can extrapolate from that and come up within a day or so of the actual birthday of Jesus Christ. You'll get that when you get tape number two here. And we'll send it to you by return mail. We'll give you the address several times. If you will dial 903-561-7070. That's 903-561-7070. I'll give you that several times in the body of the program, and I'm sure you're going to want it. Well, let me give you something real interesting. Back when a little kid, clear back in, 1897, wrote to the New York Sun, and she was being educated by her parent that there was no Santa Claus, like so many millions of others when they get to be about 5, 6, or 7. And they begin to think, well, maybe Daddy is the one that did that, especially kids that don't have a chimney. Or kids that have a little indoor stove that burns fire but has a little, you know, flue about 3 inches across. And they wonder how in the world Santa Claus can get down that chimney. Well, the little kid's name, clear back in 1897, was Virginia, and she wrote to the newspaper and said, I am 8 years old. Some of my little friends say there is no Santa Claus. Papa says, if you see it in the sun, that's the newspaper, it is so. Please tell me the truth. Is there a Santa Claus? Virginia O'Hanlon. Virginia wrote the editorial in the paper, your little friends are wrong. They've been affected by the skepticism of a skeptical age. They do not believe, except they see. They think that nothing can be which is not comprehensible by their little minds. All minds, Virginia, whether they be men's or children's, are little. In this great universe of ours, man is a mere insect, an ant. In his intellect, as compared with the boundless world about him, is measured by the intelligence capable of grasping the whole of truth and knowledge. Yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exists. Wow. The sun back in those days turned Santa Claus into God, almost. Well, why not? After all, Christkindl in German became Kris Kringle. But Christ is a Kindle. Kris Kringle. Kindle meant Christ child. So they took Christ child and turned it into Kris Kringle, one of the three names for Santa Claus, and turned Christ into Santa Claus, a mythological character who never existed. Well, it went on to say, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would be the world if there were no Santa Claus. Oh, by the way, even though Japan is a Buddhist nation, did you know that Japan celebrates in a huge way, commercially, Christmas? But they have all kinds of strange ideas, and the central figure is Santa Claus. They don't know this is supposed to be a Christian celebration. It has actually begun to spread over the entirety of the world and is one of the major reasons why the American economy does not completely fall on the ground, go bankrupt by December 25th. Many retailers depend up to 50% of their annual income on Christmas sales. And if they don't get them, if it's a poor Christmas, and from time to time they'll analyze that, do you know that if people would simply quit celebrating Christmas by the exchanging of gifts, by the travel, by the millions, the hundreds of millions they spend on the airlines, by traveling in their automobiles and buying all the gas and staying in motels and by buying all those turkeys and all the rest of it, that the stock market would completely crash, that we would not survive as a national economy? We depend upon the commercialization of what is supposed to be the premier, along with Easter, Christian celebration of the entire world, all supposedly dedicated to Christ. But around the Christ child, there was never a holly wreath. The people who came to see Jesus Christ did not kiss under the mistletoe or go in and sip another Tom and Jerry and maybe get in trouble with a wife. They did not exchange gifts among each other. They didn't say, here's the frankincense, Joe. Thank you there, Harold. And here's your myrrh. And thank you, John. And here's your gold. Turned their backs on the little baby in the manger. And he wasn't a baby in a manger, by the way. He was probably at least a year of age, and it was in a house, the Bible plainly says, by the time the Magi got there. They did not come as the shepherds did and find him in a manger. They came about a year later, which is why Herod killed all the children from 2 years of age until the newborn, because he was trying to completely eradicate what he thought was a threat. Well, going on with this letter from the New York Sun, yes, Virginia, there is a Santa Claus. He exists as certainly as love and generosity and devotion exist. And you know that they abound and give to your life its highest beauty and joy. Alas, how dreary would the world be if there were no Santa Claus? It would be as dreary as if there were no Virginias. There would be no childlike faith, no poetry, no romance to make tolerable this existence. We should have no enjoyment except in sense and sight. What is not enjoyable about sense and sight, for pity's sake? Must it all be fantasy? Read on a little bit here. The external light with which childhood fills the world would be extinguished. Not believe in Santa Claus. You might as well not believe in fairies. Doesn't say what kind. Well, you know, the tooth fairy, the godmother fairy, the good fairy, the bad fairy, whatever. You might get your papa to hire men to watch in all the chimneys on Christmas Eve to catch Santa Claus. But even if you did not see Santa Claus coming down, what would that prove? Nobody sees Santa Claus, but that is no sign that there is no Santa Claus. The most real things in the world are those that neither children nor men can see. Did you ever see fairies dancing on the lawn? Of course not, but that's no proof that they are not there. Some places, they really are there. Nobody can conceive or imagine all the wonders that are unseen in the world. You tear apart the baby's rattle to see what makes the noise inside, but there is a veil covering the unseen world which not the strongest man, nor even the united strength of all the strongest men that ever lived, could tear it apart. Only faith, poetry, love, romance can push aside that curtain and view and picture the supernatural beauty and glory beyond. Is it all real? Ah, Virginia, in all this world, there is nothing else real and abiding. No Santa Claus? Thank God. He lives and lives forever. 1,000 years from now, Virginia, nay, 10 times 10,000 years from now, he will continue to make glad the heart of childhood. Sorry, I got to disagree with that last line. Isn't going to happen. Because Jesus Christ will stand on the earth far sooner than all that period of time and let people know that they have been observing a completely pagan holiday dedicated to Solus Invictus, or the so-called invincible sun, that takes place at the winter solstice on December 25th, that it extends all the way back to ancient Babylon, Sumeria, Akkad, to Egypt, to Greece, and to Rome, and that all kinds of adaptations and additions and accoutrements have been added to the celebration by different peoples, particularly in our society, by the Germans and by the Druids of ancient Ireland. And by the Dutch, because, you know, New Amsterdam was the original name of Manhattan, the island in New York, before it was changed to New York by the British. The Dutch originally named it New Amsterdam, and they brought with them the idea of Saint Nicholas, and some people think it was Saint Nicholas who existed on the island of Cyprus, I think, in about the 4th century, but others think it was Saint Boniface, who, according to tradition and myth, came upon a group of pagan Germans who were about to sacrifice little Alfred to the sacred oak of Jupiter, and he and some armed men intervened, cut down the oak, told the people that this is pagan, and he had enough armed guys with him there to protect him, and the very next day, allegedly, a little fir tree sprang up in its place, and some say that he planted the fir tree, and others make out that the Germans revered the fir tree and all kinds of evergreen trees. I know one thing, that when I was in Hinteris in Bavaria one time, actually in Austria, right across the border, and had slain it's a cousin of our wapiti, it's a European red stag, that the German in Lederhosen actually took a little bough of fir, a little sprig of fir, dipped it in the blood, and then made this statement and handed it to me. So it was some kind of a pagan ritual. It had to do with the slaying of an animal. It also involved the tree. I didn't ask, I didn't want to embarrass anyone, what this was all about, but I've read certain things about it since that time. Well, do you know about the origin of Christmas? Do you know about the origin of the holly wreath? Do you know about the origin of mistletoe? What is it? It is a parasite. Some people believe it kills trees, but it blooms in little white waxen berries in the dead of winter. And because people hang a sprig of it over doors and in strategic places when they have the Tom and Jerry's and the eggnogs and invite the neighborhood over for a Christmas party, and people are supposed to kiss under the mistletoe, and kissing is an act of, you know, that leads to whatever, the ancient Druids looked upon it as an aphrodisiac, and they thought that it had certain powers, kind of like their version of Viagra, I guess. And they thought at that time that it would really cause quite a reaction among people. It's carried on today. Millions of people in the United States carry a sprig of mistletoe into the house and pin it up somewhere when they have their Christmas parties. There is so much more, so many more things to talk about, and it's all contained in that booklet, and especially the two tapes, which when I come back, I want to tell you a little more about. First, let's take a time out. You'll be sure to get this. I know you're going to want it for your kids and grandkids, because it's also got some very interesting things, some curious and very mysterious things about how to go about finding the true birth date of Jesus Christ in the Bible. I'll be right back.
Christmas is upon us again, and Americans in their tens of millions are preparing to observe a festival steeped in the accoutrements of paganism. The pagan origins of Christmas are not even in dispute, and yet churches turn their backs on the observances instituted and commanded by God. Call now for your free copy of Christmas, The Untold Story, and the audio cassette by the same title, Christmas, The Untold Story. Both will be sent to you free of charge by return mail when you call 903-561-7070. In addition to Christmas the Untold Story, you'll be enthralled by this new tape, The Real Birthday of Christ.
He got to hold Jesus Christ as a little baby boy. And he knew through God's Holy Spirit what that baby meant, who he was, what he was going to do. And it was probably the greatest moment of his life. His heart had to be just throbbing in his breast. He'd probably be goose pimply. The tears were running down of his eyes. He was saying this, looking up to heaven as a prayer. And he was just in a euphoric state.
For your free copy of The Real Birthday of Christ, call 903-561-7070.
Believe it or not, the celebrations of Christmas as you and I know them today did not really become popular until well into the 19th century. The early colonists in New England outlawed the practice. As a matter of fact, from 1659 to 1681 in New England and in Boston, it was not only outlawed, but you would be fined for pretending to observe Christmas. So in early colonial America, it was against the law. You know why? Well, those people were Bible-believing. They were called Puritans. Sure, they carried it too far. Sure, some of them were extremists. And, of course, we know they burnt witches in Salem, Massachusetts. So a lot of people would throw out that baby with the bathwater and say, therefore, they were evil people. Well, the point is that they saw the paganism, and they knew that Jesus Christ nor the apostles ever said that Jesus Christ's birthday ought to be observed. They know there is no mention whatsoever of Christmas in the Bible except one place in the book of Jeremiah where the Christmas tree is allegedly described, and I'll read that to you in a moment. So they actually legislated against it, and it was outlawed. Now that would be strange indeed today. There would be a real rebellion, and the entire nation would rise up in arms if anyone tried to suggest that. Personally, I'm not threatened by Christmas. And I'm not telling you this because I'm threatened by it or because it is something which I absolutely hate or detest. It's just that I don't observe it because I do understand its origins, and God's Word says and tells me and you, quote, learn not the way of the heathen. When you are come into the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, and you dispossess the nations that are being cast out before you, God said to Israel, you shall not say after them, now, how did they worship their gods? What quaint little customs did they use in honoring Zeus or Mars or Jupiter or maybe Baal, the Lord of Flies, or maybe some of the other Vishnu or Ashtaroth or Semiramis or Nimrod or whoever? And then say, now, that's cute. That's quaint. Holly wreath. Well, how about that? Mistletoe. Wow, that sounds like a Yule log. Oh, man, the turkey. Wonderful. Great ideas. What about hanging orbs and bulbs on a little tree that is symbolic of life and maybe Nimrod that sprang up overnight behind the old log that was felled and all the other rituals and tradition that was passed down over the centuries and centuries, each nation adding its own little refinements to it all until it comes down to us in the guise that it does today, called Christ Mass, when Christ has nothing to do with it, and the word Mass is Roman Catholic anyway. But then, the original Santa Claus was a Roman Catholic of the 4th century in Ireland, Cyprus anyway, so it is definitely a Catholic hand-me-down, and you can look that up on the internet. There are all kinds of thousands of sites there that tell you about it, and you can also get a lot of research put together from the encyclopedias and many of the other books on the origin of Christmas in that booklet we're telling you about. Let me turn to the 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah and read to you in the Bible a description of what appears to be the Christmas tree. Hear the word which the Eternal speaks unto you, O house of Israel. And if you knew the truth about where the house of Israel is, and that means Joseph, who is the favored son of Jacob, and that Jacob's name was changed to Israel, and he crossed his hands and put them on the heads of Ephraim and Manasseh and said, let my name, the name of Israel, be named on them. And so Ephraim and Manasseh, the two tribes of Joseph, making 13 tribes in all, truth be told, are the ones who are supposed to be carrying the name of the house of Israel. I'll just take this time out to tell you right quickly, the first place in the Bible where you ever find the word Jew is in 2 Kings 16:6. And get this, the Jews are at war against Israel. Boggles the mind, doesn't it? Because, you see, most people don't know that the name Israel is the name that was changed from Jacob and that it involved, eventually, with Joseph's two tribes of Ephraim and Manasseh, the two boys, 13 tribes in all. America started with 13 colonies. Well, on my website, that book is published, and you can have your copy of it. We've advertised it, I think, just a week or so ago, and you can have a copy of the origin of the British Commonwealth and the European nations and the United States in biblical prophecy. That's not the purpose of this program, but those of you that haven't read it, don't have it, we'd be happy to send you a copy. He says, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. Well, the winter solstice is precisely that. The signs of the seasons, worship of the sun god, the idea of sun worship, moon worship, the worship of Mars and planets, that was absolutely abominable in sight of God, and it led to all kinds of evil practices because lifeless planets don't tell you how to live. And the moon and the sun don't tell you how to conduct your marriage, or how to date and prepare for marriage, or how to rear children, or how to raise your crops, or how to avoid doing something evil to your neighbor. and how to keep from murdering someone or hating someone in your heart. They just are like the old Western song by, who was it, Conway Twitty, that said, I just hang here above, about, I don't know a thing about love about the moon. Well, it's true, kind of a cute little song. But here someone was appealing to the moon, which they used to do anciently, about their love life. So he says, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. They didn't know what was going on. So they prayed to the invincible sun that was disappearing in the south. Winter was coming on. They were in the depths of cold and snow and ice and sleet and ice storms and icicles. Oh, please, all-powerful sun, begin your journey northward again and warm up the climate. So they offered gifts, and they sacrificed, and they prayed. And maybe every now and then, because they knew where babies came from, they decided to give one of them back to the pagan gods that they worshipped. So they practiced infanticide, or infant sacrifice. Many of those pagan cultures did. Now he went on to say, verse 3, for the customs of the people are vain. You know, we feel so comfortable when we say, yeah, but everybody's doing it. I mean, let's go along with the crowd. It's commonplace. I would stand out like the proverbial sore thumb or a toe sticking through a stocking that needs to be mended if I don't go along with the crowd. Well, you know, any dead old carp or sucker can float downstream, but it takes a lively trout to swim upstream and to go over the rapids. And that's what you're going to have to do if you want to obey God instead of go along with custom. The customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workman with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. You know, you can buy a tree that's already got the stand on it and put it, as so many millions of Americans do, in the trunk at the top of the car and take it home. And here in the 10th chapter of the book of Jeremiah, those first several verses, is a description of a tree that is cut out of the forest and carried indoors and decked with silver and gold, and God says, don't do that. Of course, a lot of people lose their lives in house fires because of defective electrical circuits in their lights that they hang on them. In ancient times, they actually used to put little candles and light them right next to pine needles or fir needles, which are almost explosive, for pity's sake. And they would do that and think, well, that's something I really want to do. It's really wonderful to do that. Now, a thought that I like to always convey to the audience, and that is this: if there is no God, it doesn't make any difference. If there is no God, it doesn't make any difference. But since there is a God, and I can prove it, and I've proved it to many, many thousands of people over decades, and since I know the Bible is the word of that God, and I know Jesus Christ of Nazareth, my Savior and yours, if you'll receive and accept him, is the Son of God, and was very God in human flesh, and was the God of the Old Covenant and the Old Testament, the Logos, who did the creating, read John the first chapter, and he says in stentorian thunder, learn not the way of the heathen, and describes to me what the heathen did about the winter solstice, about the vernal equinox, about the various signs, and he says don't observe months and times, and don't observe the pagan customs of the people around you, don't do that, then I think I need to take that seriously and not say, well, I know, but the music is so pretty, and the turkey smells good, and it's so wonderful to have family and friends and to give and so on. Well, they ignore Jesus Christ and give to each other, and it's also a time of great disparity and great contrast. It is a time where the poor and people in nursing homes and poor houses and people on the street people, really suffer all the more because they look and they see this outpouring, this cornucopia of giving, and people just giggling and chortling as they unwrap the packages, and little kids with their new tricycle and a little red wagon on the street and all of that, and they get nothing. Well, a lot of people then, and this is good as far as it goes, although it doesn't need to be pinned to that time, and it should be done at any time of the year, will then decide to hold great big banquets, and they at least fill the bellies of starving street people once per year, Maybe they do it more than that, but you know what I'm saying, because there's an awful lot of that that goes on at Christmas time on a lot of the local churches and charitable organizations, and they begin to feel sorry, and people will even say, put Christ back in Christmas. Well, you can't put Christ in Christmas when he was never there in the first place. When I come back, I want to give you some clues of what is in that tape about the real birthday of Jesus Christ. I'll be back in a moment.
Christmas is upon us again, and Americans in their tens of millions are preparing to observe a festival steeped in the accoutrements of paganism. The pagan origins of Christmas are not even in dispute, and yet churches turn their backs on the observances instituted and commanded by God. Call now for your free copy of Christmas, The Untold Story, and the audio cassette by the same title, Christmas, The Untold Story. Both will be sent to you free of charge by return mail when you call 903-561-7070.
You know, there are some hidden clues in your Bible that will lead you unerringly to the exact precise day on which Jesus Christ was born. And when you come to realize that, you'll realize it is a day which is holy in the sight of God. But more than that, believe it or not, there's an underlying mysterious clue about the real significance of December 25th, as to why it was called Michaelmas anciently, and why the early church celebrated it, but for a completely different reason. For example, let me just give you a few clues. You get the rest of it in the tape. And it goes into it in intricate detail. John the Baptist and Jesus Christ were second cousins. Mary and Elizabeth were first cousins. Now, if you can determine the time when John the Baptist was begotten, and the exact time when he was born, and Jesus was exactly 6 months after John was 6 months older than Jesus Christ, you could extrapolate back. If you know what the course of Abia was, and Zacharias, who was a priest according to the course of Abia, and was the father of John the Baptist, it will lead you unerringly to the true birth date of Jesus Christ. And you'll get that in that second of the two tapes we're telling you about. So by all means, get this information. Two tape-recorded sermons, a very extensive booklet giving you a lot of details I haven't had time to do in this program, if you will dial 903-561-7070. That's 903-561-7070, free of charge, no bill to follow, your name is not given to somebody else, and it's absolutely without cost to you. 903-561-7070, and I'll see you here in 1 week.
In addition to Christmas the Untold Story, you'll be enthralled by this new tape, The Real Birthday of Christ.
He got to hold Jesus Christ as a little baby boy. And he knew through God's Holy Spirit what that baby meant, who he was, what he was going to do. And it was probably the greatest moment of his life. His heart had to be just throbbing in his breast. He'd probably be goose pimply. The tears were running down of his eyes. He was saying this, looking up to heaven as a prayer. And he was just in a euphoric state. Another thing, as I'm on the subject briefly, in all of the 3.5 years with Jesus Christ, not a single one of his disciples ever said, well, Jesus, what do you think about this or that? And the Protestant just overworked the name Jesus. But he is Jesus the Christ. He is Jesus, the Son of God.
For your free copy of The Real Birthday of Christ, call 903-561-7070.